fantastic. We're glad you are here today. For those of you joining us online, there is lots of information on our website about our church and its ministry. Also, we will be showing all of the prayers and the hymns so that you can sing along and join with us as we worship together. In the bulletin, you will see lots of announcements about what's coming up here in the next few weeks in the life of our church. Next Sunday afternoon at 2 o'clock, we'll be doing our blessing of the animals. So feel free to, we welcome you to bring your pets. Invite your neighbors to bring their pets. That's fine. We're happy. We will gather in the back parking lot and we will enjoy a time of friendship as well as blessing those furry friends that bring so much to our lives. Inside our bulletin, I want to point your attention to page 14, the Fall Faith Studies for Adults. There is a whole listing of discussion groups, Bible studies, conversation groups, opportunities to eat and hang out together. So we hope that Sunday school has started for the kids, but there are lots of opportunities for the adults as well. So we hope you will join us. If you have any questions about any of those or would like to join us either in person or online for them, please reach out to me and I can send you the Zoom information if you need it. We would love to have you join us. Nance Thompson is here with an announcement about CrossGen.
Good morning. Does anybody remember what CrossGen stands for? Anybody besides Stephanie? No. Cross-generational. Yes. That means that the really old people can come out and hang out with the really cool young people and with the babies, and the cool young people can come out and hang out with the cool old people. And don't forget the people in the middle, all the middle-aged people, they can come hang out with each other. So it's a really nice event. And we have dinner. We have fellowship, dinner, games. Sometimes we have skits. We do Bible story. We sing songs. That's a great time. Our next one is Wednesday, October 12th, 5:30 to 7:30. Please make sure you sign up online so we make sure we have sufficient food for everyone to enjoy. And our theme is generosity this year, this session. So generosity is our theme. Come and learn how you can be generous in ways besides just giving money. All right, thank you.
Also, you will see in our bulletin numerous opportunities to help and serve. We need help with Jan Peak, which is preparing a meal every month for the folks that live at the shelter there in Peekskill. Noontime meal, Garden of Hope, it's harvest season, they need help. So if you are able to help or have questions about any of them, there's contact information in the bulletin about all of them. And our food pantry is looking for canned protein. So if you have any or see a good deal on it at the grocery store, please help us out and bring us some. Now, as we come into this time of worship, let's take a moment to pause, to calm our hearts, our minds, our spirits, and to take a deep breath, and to become aware of the life that is within us and all around us.
Please join me in the call to worship. This is the day the Lord has made. Rejoice and be glad in it. This is the body of Christ in which God has placed us. We give thanks for this community and the many gifts each person brings with them. This is the life God calls us to live. Let us be filled with God's Spirit and we worship God and serve this world God loves. Come, let us worship God together.
Thank you.
read in unison. Holy source of life and love, we are thankful for the breath of your spirit that enlivens our bodies and the body of Christ your church. Forgive us when we keep moving through life and our many commitments without pausing to check our vital signs and take care of ourselves. Sometimes we let our anxiety and other expectations push us forward in ways that are not healthy. Sometimes we are impatient with the part of ourselves that can't keep up rather than checking in and see how we can reconnect with friends. Sometimes we do not stop long enough to let your spirit revive us and show us the way forward. Forgive us. Hear the good news, God. Who is rich in mercy, out of great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead through our trespasses, made us alive again together with Christ. In Christ we live and move and have our being. Beloved of God, let the good news live in you. We will breathe deeply from the well of God's love and grace, so that we may follow Christ's call to new and abundant life for all. Amen. Join me in this prayer. Holy breath, reviving spirit, fill our lungs and minds with your inner divine presence. Refresh our still minds, stir our slowly beating hearts. As we listen to and reflect on your living word, may we find a breath of fresh air, hope for our hearts, and renewed purpose for our journey together as Christ's body. Amen. The first lesson today comes from Romans 12, 1 through 11. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers and sisters, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds, so that we may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. For by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, not to think of yourself more highly than you ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. For us in one body, we have many members, and not all the members have the same function. So we, who are many, are one body in Christ, and individually we are members one of another. We have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us. prophecy in proportion to faith, ministry and ministering, the teacher and teaching, the exhorter and exhortation, the giver and generosity, the leader and diligence, the compassionate and cheerfulness. Let love be genuine. Hate, we know that's evil. Hold fast to what is good. Love one another with mutual affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. Do not lag in zeal. Be ardent in spirit. Serve the Lord.
I'd like to invite our young people to come join me up front, if you're willing. Got a nice open pew. And don't worry, I'm going to make the grown-ups do all of this too. So I just want to be a little closer to you guys. So if you're willing, come on up here and have a seat. So I thought today that I would teach you all, and all of you, to do an exercise that Abby Cross shares with us at the beginning of most of our centering prayer times on Wednesday evenings. It's also something I learned to do in a number of different prayer and meditation groups, and it's also something you might learn to do if you go to something that helps you learn how to deal with stress more effectively. Basically, what we're going to do is a little check-in with our bodies. So often we go through life so quickly and we don't pay much attention to our body other than taking it for granted because it helps us get where we need to go and do what we need to do. But every now and then, in fact really every day, it's a good idea to take some time to check in. So I'm going to invite everyone to sit down, as you all are. I will sit down with you and get comfortable, hands in your lap, feet on the ground, close your eyes. I'm going to invite everybody to take a deep breath. And then starting at the very tippy top of your head, start to pay attention to what is going on in your body as we scan down through the different parts. As we scan down through your head, are your eyebrows scrunched up? Is your jaw tight? Are your ears feeling droopy? Is your neck tense? Pay attention as you carefully work your way down through each part of your body. And try, and if you feel any stress or tension, to loosen it up. If you need to wiggle or stretch, that's okay. And also pay attention if something is bothering you. Do you have a little ache or a pain or a twinge here and there? Maybe take note of it so that you can think about it later. And work your way down through your shoulders and your chest and your back, down through your stomach and your abdomen, your hips. Work your way down through the tops of your legs, your knees, your calves, your ankles, and your feet. And if you've noticed anything along the way, whether it's tension or an ache or a pain, imagine that that tension or that ache or pain is just going to drain out through your feet. Let it go and relax yourself. Keep breathing and notice how peaceful you feel. And thank God that God has given you this body, which has done an amazing job of taking care of you and helping you live your life. Amen. So that is something that you can do anytime, anywhere. Especially nights if you're going to bed at night and you're having a hard time falling asleep. That's a really good exercise to do. It helps you kind of check in with yourself and quiet all the whatever the thoughts are that are bouncing around your head or your nervous feelings. It's a great thing to do when you might be feeling stressed before a test, before you have to go to the dentist, anything that makes you nervous. You can do that, and it gives you an opportunity to check in with your body. Sometimes we pay a lot of attention to what goes on in our heads and our hearts, but we kind of forget about our bodies. And it's really important because God gave them all to us. They are all part of what makes us who we are. And it's a good way to check in with ourselves every day. Thanks. You guys can go back to your seats. Our second lesson comes from the Old Testament prophet Ezekiel, the 37th chapter. Let us listen again for God's word. The hand of the Lord came upon me, and he brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord and set me down in the middle of a valley. It was full of bones. He led me all around them. There were very many lying in the valley, and they were very dry. He said to me, "Mortal, can these bones live?" I answered, "O Lord God, you know." Then he said to me, "Prophesy to these bones and say to them, 'O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord.' Thus says the Lord God to these bones, 'I will cause breath to enter you, and you shall live. I shall lay sinews on you and will cause flesh to come upon you and cover you with skin and put breath in you, and you shall live. And you shall know that I am the Lord.' So I prophesied as I had been commanded, and as I prophesied, suddenly there was a noise, a rattling, and the bones came together, bone to its bone. I looked, and there were sinews on them, and flesh had come upon them, and skin had covered them. But there was no breath in them. Then he said to me, 'Prophesy to the breath, prophesy, mortal, and say to the breath, Thus says the Lord God, Come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain that they may live.' I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived and stood on their feet, a vast multitude. Then he said to me, 'Mortal, these bones are the whole house of Israel. They say, Our bones are dried up, and our hope is lost. We are cut off completely. Therefore, prophesy and say to them, Thus says the Lord God, I am going to open your graves and bring you up from your graves, O my people, and I will bring you back to the land of Israel. And you shall know that I am the Lord, when I open your graves and bring you up from your graves, O my people. I will put my spirit within you, and you shall live. I will place you on your own soil, and you shall know that I, the Lord, have spoken and will act, says the Lord." This is the word of God for the people of God. So as many of you know, I recently returned from a 10-day trip to Spain, where my husband and I spent 6 days walking the last 120 kilometers of the Camino de Santiago, or the Way of St. James. The Camino is an ancient pilgrimage route traveled by Christians for well over 1,000 years. Now, this idea of pilgrimage may be strange to many of us, especially those of us in the Protestant tradition. As I recently learned while I was walking, pilgrimage was one of the many faith practices that the Protestant reformers like Martin Luther criticized and abolished when they threw much of the Christian baby out with the Roman Catholic bathwater. But pilgrimage has been growing in popularity over the years, especially in Protestant circles, as we seek to reconnect with some of the ancient practices of our faith. As some of you may remember, Chip walked a portion of the Camino back in 2019, covering 212 kilometers, or 132 miles, between Pamplona and Burgos. This experience was the inspiration for the theme of his sabbatical, which was initially planned to take place over 4 months in 2020, but which has now been spread out in pieces over 3 years, thanks to the pandemic. This year, I got to join Chip, walking the final stage of the Camino, about 120 kilometers or 75 miles from Sarria to Santiago. In addition to the spiritual side of our walk, I, of course, was tracking my steps with my Fitbit. It might be difficult for some of us to wrap our heads around what it's like to walk 75 miles over 6 days, but those of us who use fitness trackers understand steps. During the 6 days of our walk on the Camino, I logged 213,951 steps, or somewhere between 30 and 40,000 steps a day. Now, fitness trackers can keep track of a lot of other things, too, like your heart rate, calories burned, distance covered, stairs climbed, maybe your weight, your BMI, hours you slept last night, all of that stuff. And depending on what we want to know, they help us keep track of a number of essential data points about our health, kind of like our own personal vital signs monitor. Now, regardless of whether or not you use a fitness tracker, I think we all know what it's like to have our vital signs checked when we go to the doctor's office. Vital signs measure our body's most basic functions, and they help us to assess our general physical health. Tracking our vital signs over time gives healthcare providers important clues as to when something may have changed or something might be wrong. So I'm going to ask all the nurses in the room to not answer right away, but I'm going to ask everybody else who knows what the four vital signs are.
Blood pressure, heart rate, oxygen.
Okay, one at a time. Let's give other people a chance. Blood pressure, what else?
Pulse.
Okay.
Heart rate.
Yeah, pulse and heart rate are the same.
Respiration,
that's the number of times you breathe in a minute, which is different than the number of times your heart beats in a minute. So there's three. What's the other one?
Blood pressure.
We already got it.
Temperature,
yes. Now, someone also mentioned oxygen. What is it called? Yeah, the oxygen thing, that's the fifth vital sign that's unofficial. I learned when I was doing all this research on websites last night. But anyway, the four basic ones are body temperature, pulse, blood pressure, and respiratory rate. So not only are they really basic measurements, but your vital signs can be taken and monitored easily and in multiple settings, whether you're in the doctor's office or at home or just about anywhere else. That's why they are such helpful tools in keeping track of what's going on with our bodies. But I was thinking, what about your spiritual health? How do you measure that? What might the vital signs be that you would check on to assess your spiritual health? And thinking about your own faith and the place it holds in your life and how you practice it in concrete ways, how would you assess its health and vitality? I invite all of you to find 5 minutes, 10 minutes, sometime this week to focus and reflect on this question. And this question of how healthy you are spiritually and what you might need to do, how you might need to change your schedule or your priorities to make sure that your faith is healthy and growing, just like the rest of you, no matter what age you are. If vital signs help us measure our body's health, how about the body of Christ, the church? How might we measure our church body's health and vitality? Now, I'll warn you, if you Google vital signs of a church, you will find boatloads of answers. So before we get into that, I'd like to take a look at our scripture lessons today to see what they have to say about what a healthy church looks like or what it doesn't. In our passage from his letter to the early church in Rome, the Apostle Paul is right in the middle of his letter, and he's switching gears from his complex theological exposition about God's saving grace in Jesus Christ. He gets down to bare bones, and he wants to talk about what this grace actually looks like when it's lived out in the family of faith, in the church community. And according to Paul, in response to God's amazing gift of grace and forgiveness and new life, the grateful and faithful response is to present our bodies to God as a living sacrifice. Notice he doesn't say hearts, minds, spirits, but our bodies, which means he knows you're going to bring the rest along, but he wants your whole self. As we let our whole selves come under the influence of God's grace, then we will experience the renewing of our minds, a total transformation in how we think and how we understand who God is and who we are and what our place in the world is. This then leads us directly into our life in community, how we are many members of the same body, all connected together and gifted with different gifts and abilities that are essential for the body's survival and healthy functioning. In Paul's words here, we hear echoes of his letter to the Corinthians. For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one, so it is with Christ. If the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing be? If the whole body were hearing, where would the sense of smell be? If all were a single member, where would the body be? No matter how big or small, visible or invisible, each part, each member of the body is important. The body needs the pinky toe and the epiglottis just as much as it needs the heart and the brain in order to function the way God intends. We might also remember Paul's words from last week, from his letter to the Ephesians, where he wrote, "But speaking the truth in love, we must grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by every ligament with which it is equipped, as each part is working properly, promotes the body's growth in building itself up in love." We need each and every one of the different people in our church, no matter how big or small, young or old, in order to be Christ's body together in the world. No matter who you are and what gifts you bring, and don't try to pretend that you don't bring gifts, because we already know that God has gifted all of us with lots of gifts. We need all of you, so that we can be all of who God created and calls us to be. And then as we offer our bodies and renew our minds, as we share our gifts and work together in the body, that's when love becomes genuine. That's when we hold fast to what is good, and we can love one another and reach out to the world in need, and we can be dedicated and enthusiastic, even passionate, as we serve God together. We find a very different picture in our passage from Ezekiel. Instead of a healthy church or community, God takes Ezekiel to a valley full of dry bones, a place where there is not a single vital sign to even check. This will make a little more sense to us when we realize to whom God has sent Ezekiel to speak: the people of Israel who are living in captivity, in exile, in Babylon. The exile was and is, still is, a painful chapter in Israel's history. Because after they had finally established their nation in the promised land and been united under their glorious kings like Saul and David and Solomon, the nation of Israel split into two smaller kingdoms, each of which was eventually conquered by neighboring empires. First the Assyrians, and then the Babylonians, and then the Persians. As part of these conquests, many of the people were exiled and sent far away from their homeland. As Old Testament professor Rebecca Wright explains, the exile was not a short event in the life of Israel. Perhaps at first it was not hard for the people to keep up their hopes that God would rescue them from Babylon. But as years piled up into decades, and they continued to languish in captivity, despair began to replace hope. Finally, it had been too long. They considered themselves as good as dead. So God took Ezekiel to the Valley of Dry Bones and asked him, "Mortal, do you think these bones can live?" We don't really know if Ezekiel was feeling as demoralized and despondent as the rest of his people, or if he was kind of awestruck and hopeful under these unusual circumstances, but either way, he cautiously responded, "Good Lord, how should I know? But I bet you do." Rather than giving him an answer, however, God gave Ezekiel a message to proclaim to the bones. Now, I would imagine that when Ezekiel was in seminary getting his Master's of Prophecy degree, he was never expecting to be preaching to a valley full of dry bones. But he decided to do what God told him to. And he told those disconnected and desiccated bones that God was going to breathe on them and bring them back to life, covering them with muscles and skin and putting them back together into new, living, breathing bodies. God's Spirit was going to fill them with new life, where no one thought life was even possible. Through Ezekiel, God assured the people of Israel that God had not abandoned them and that they did indeed have a future. I will put my spirit in you and you shall live. Israel's vital signs were all but dead because they had lost their faith, their trust, their hope, not in themselves and their own abilities, but in the God who created and called them to be God's people on earth. The message that God gave to Ezekiel is like a pair of cardiac defibrillator paddles designed to shock them back to life and restore the rhythm of their faith, even in their difficult circumstances. So what about us? Where is the First Presbyterian Church of Yorktown? How can we check our vital signs? As I said before, there are lots of church consultants and researchers and other experts out there who have come up with all kinds of fancy metrics and ways to measure congregational health. Things like membership and worship attendance, financial giving, age distribution, clearly articulated vision and mission, and the list goes on and on and on. Now, our congregation has already had a pretty thorough checkup about 3 years ago when we took the CAT, the Congregational Assessment Tool. Some of you will remember that. We learned a lot from that about our church and how it functions and where our strengths and weaknesses are. You may recall that we learned that we are what's called a transformational magi congregation, kind of like those wise men who followed the star to find the baby Jesus. We are often energized and on the move, not afraid to ask questions and try new things, always searching for better ways to understand God and be church together. And compared to the thousands of other churches around the country who have taken that CAT, we were relieved to learn that we are in pretty good shape overall, one of the healthiest and highest scoring churches on that particular tool. I think this positive assessment gave us a real shot in the arm, no pun intended, when the pandemic hit. And we really had to radically rethink everything in order to keep going. But now it's 2.5 years later. The pandemic has dragged on much longer than we ever thought it would, and rather than ending, it's moving into a more endemic phase. 2 years ago, if you think back, most of us were working and going to school from home, anxiously awaiting those first vaccines to become available, diligently masking up before we ventured out from home to get groceries or gas, going to worship and church meetings and Bible studies via Facebook and Zoom. Now the world has largely opened up again. The kids are back in school, many of us are back at work, vaccines and boosters are available, and masks are rarely required. They're welcome here, but except when you go to the doctor, you don't really have to worry about them. Now, I still get an email at least twice a week from the school nurse informing me that my child has been in close proximity to someone else who recently tested positive for COVID. So we don't have to scramble anymore and find a test and isolate ourselves the way we did before. In spite of all this, however, I don't think any one of us would say that everything is back to normal again. And it's certainly not the way things were pre-pandemic. In fact, a lot has changed, and we are only just beginning to understand exactly how and what this means for us as we move forward. This is certainly true for us here at church, too. 3 weeks ago, we stopped requiring masks in worship, although they are certainly welcomed and respected. And most of our programming has started back up in person, but we still offer all the online options for worship and Bible study and church meetings. Over the past 2.5 years, we have all gotten older. Some of us have died or moved away. Some of us don't drive anymore or don't feel comfortable coming out at night. Many of us have reevaluated who and what's most important to us and how we want to spend our time and money. Among the folks who study this kind of thing, most estimate that about a third of all church members will not be returning to meaningful church involvement after the pandemic. So what does that mean for us? Well, it might help explain why it's been so hard this year to find Sunday school teachers, ushers, hosts for coffee hour, and most of the other volunteers we regularly ask for. I'll be the first to admit that it's hard to know exactly who we are as a church after the pandemic. This is why the session decided in July to conduct a congregational canvas, what we're calling FPCY R&R, Reach Out and Reconnect. A dedicated group of volunteers will be calling every person and every family in our church community over the next 3 weeks to check in with you and to see how you are doing. You may remember that we did something similar to this at the beginning of the pandemic to check in with folks and find out how we could be supportive in that uncertain time. Now we are calling again to reach out and reconnect, to take our vital signs, to hear how you're doing and find out how we can connect with you in meaningful ways. When you receive a call or an email or a text from our R&R callers, I hope you will make some time to have a conversation with us and help us better understand who we are as a church post-pandemic, as we continue to discern God's will and way for our ministry and mission together. I hope that you will help us check our vital signs so that we can continue to be the church, the body of Christ together, filled with God's Spirit, following in Jesus' footsteps, serving God and this world God loves with passion and purpose. Amen.
Dinner that was served last night by several members of our congregation.
Great, thank you. And if you would like more information and what it means to prepare a meal and take it down there to serve those folks, please see your bulletin. There is information there. Also, I would share the joy of the assist training that happened this week. Some of you know we held a Soul Shop workshop back in April or May, and then we did the follow-up training, the assist, where 8 members of our congregation plus about 8 more members of our community and our presbytery came and were trained in suicide intervention first aid skills. It was a very powerful 2 days, and I think you should know that there are now quite a lot of people in our congregation who are not afraid to talk about suicide or the feelings that might lead someone to that place, and that we would be more than happy and willing to talk to anyone who needs some help with that. Christine. Great. So we share the your joy of your daughter's wedding last week. That's great. Wonderful news. And what is her name?
Iris.
So for your sister Iris, we will pray. Also, prayers for Randy's brother, Jeff, and his family. Randy's sister-in-law, Denise, died on Friday after a battle with lung cancer. So prayers for healing for a ruptured eardrum. Yeah, we will certainly pray. Karen.
Continued prayers for all those taking care of elderly parents, such as myself, and enjoy that my mother will celebrate her 83rd birthday last week in Georgia for a quick overnight celebration.
Great. So yes, prayers for all who are caring for aging parents or neighbors or friends, and the joy of the birthday. Heidi.
Both for Puerto Rico and other islands that have been affected by hurricanes.
Yeah. Prayers for Puerto Rico and DR and every place that was impacted by Hurricane Fiona this week. Yep. Amy, did I see your hand?
Yeah. I The hike for next Saturday did not make it on any of the calendars.
Oh.
We are hiking next Saturday. I will put it on the Facebook page later this afternoon so that we can see where we're going.
Okay. And we can send out a reminder email midweek about that, too.
Cool.
Yes. So if you would like to be a pilgrim, like Chip and I were, only not walk probably 40,000 steps, we do have one of our pilgrim walks next Saturday. Where is it and what time?
I don't know.
Okay, we'll find out. We'll send out
it's all the calendar. Megan, are we doing the one in...
This Saturday, we have two consecutive walks in Cold Spring.
Okay.
This Saturday is the hike up Bull Hill, so that's hiking, moving around a lot. The following in November, we will be in the town of Cold Spring, so that is a little easier, more accessible.
So our next 2 months of pilgrim walks will be in Cold Spring. We'll be hiking up a mountain next week and wandering around town in November. Sounds good. Okay. All right. Yeah, we've had to rearrange our schedule. Great. Thank you. Garrett.
Despite how non-threatening we try to make choir, it still takes a huge leap of faith to come and sing with us. And I'm just really thankful to have Andrea Edelman with us since she came and rehearsed with us on Thursday, and she has her trial Sunday today.
Great. Yes. And anybody else who wants to join the bell choir, the regular choir, the youth bells, all of that?
We have lots of openings in our youth bells, which meet at noon today. So anyone interested, no pressure, just come and see what it is that we do. We have lots of fun. We did cat-toe last Sunday.
So especially youth bells. So our young folks, if you'd like to try and ring the bells, you don't have to be terribly musically inclined. You can learn as you go, right?
Right.
All right, great.
That's what I'm doing.
Other joys and concerns? Heidi?
One more. Yeah. For all those who are struggling with mental health issues, don't trust them, have bad experiences.
Yeah, for all those who are struggling with emotional needs or mental health issues. I was reminded at this training that only 40% of the people who die by suicide actually have a diagnosable mental illness. That means an awful lot of people who are making that choice are actually just in a moment of desperation. Circumstances pile up and things happen, and what we've learned over and over again is that suicide is the result of a loss of connection and a loss of hope. And I think those two things, we have many people in our lives who are suffering from that, from a loss of connection and loss of hope, whether it takes them to a deep, darker place or not. And so I think all of us need to be open and creative to ways to reach out and support one another and help people get the help they need. Any other joys or concerns? Yeah, we continue to pray for David and his family as they walk this tough cancer road together. Yeah. All right, so Nance is going to lead us in prayer this morning.
God of life and breadth, word and world, we thank you for the vulnerable yet wonderful gift of life. To be alive and to know it is an incredible gift. We thank you that from the start to finish, our life is precious in your sight. May we always praise you for it. Even though we are alive, too often we feel like we are surrounded by a world of dry bones, a world of death and despair, a world of half-truth and distrust, a world where we lose hope in our structures, in ourselves, and you. We pray for this world in need of your spirit of new life and for all people in it. Break our hearts for what breaks yours, O God, that we may be energized to offer your love and compassion, your healing and wholeness, your justice and truth. We bring before you those who are grieving. And we pray for your comfort that wipes away every tear. We bring before you those who despair and pray for your hope that illuminates possibility. We bring before you those who are sick and pray for your healing of body, mind, and spirit. We bring before you a world of violence and war and pray for your spirit of peace to enter all our hearts. We lift up to you this, your church. Enliven our whole congregation with purpose and passion. Make us one mind that we may make plans for the future. Unite us into a cohesive fellowship where even newcomers quickly feel at home and all feel connected and cared for. God, you created in love, you redeemed for love, you sustain with love. Help us to love in the same way that you love us. With passion, with fierce hope, with challenges, as with comfort. May our encounter with you transform us into the people you call us to be, loving, serving, and caring for the whole world. We pray these and all things in the name of the one who came to show us and give us your abundant life, Jesus the Christ, who taught us to pray together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who have sinned against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
As we come into a time of offering, I call your attention to page, 12, which highlights in our bulletin, which highlights the Peace and Global Witness offering. It's a special offering of our church that we are receiving through next Sunday. This helps us be the church all around the world in ways that we can't be by ourselves. In addition, the portion of that offering that we get to determine where it goes will be going to the Presbyterian Peace Fellowship, helping them with their Guns to Gardens initiative. So we invite you all, as you think about what it means to check your vital signs, that if you're alive and breathing, we hope you will be grateful and that you will share with God what God has shared with you. join together in the prayer of dedication. Reviving God, infinite source, accept and bless these gifts which we offer in response to the gracious gift of your life-giving Spirit to us. May these gifts and our lives be used to put flesh and bones on your love and justice, your mercy and peace, especially as we see and experience them in and through Jesus, who came that we might have abundant life. Amen. Let's share the peace of Christ with one another. The peace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all, and also with you. Let us share the peace. As you leave today, remember to find some time this week to check in with your body, to check the vital signs of your faith, and to help us make some time for a conversation to help us check our vital signs together as a church. So go in peace, and may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you this day and forevermore. Amen.
Oh. Thank you.